1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
And as you may have heard, there was an incident today at Buckingham Palace around, I guess, about 2:30 in the afternoon London time. President Bush was there. We have got Bob Bakian on the line now from London. And Bob, if you can hear me, I know the line is very sketchy. Can you give us, fill us in on what happened so that we can get just sort of a timeline on this thing, I guess is all we're looking for right now.
Right, Philip. Probably the best thing we can do right now is tell you that around 2:33 this afternoon at Buckingham Palace in the center of London, President Bush was scheduled to meet with Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip for what they called a high tea and a get-to-know-you meeting between the respective heads of state. All was going according to schedule, according to witnesses. The president was ushered into the large reception hall at Buckingham Palace. And then the reports begin to conflict, but what we do know is that the president approached the queen, and instead of a formal handshake of some kind, he went into a curtsy.
He curtsied.
That is correct, which is a formal bow.
And for people who don't know what a curtsy is, and again, the president did this in thinking that that's what he was supposed to do?
That is my understanding. I talked to Craig Noble, who's head of protocol for the White House.
For people who don't know what a curtsy is, tell us.
The film, a curtsy is a formal bow. It's generally reserved for women. Women traditionally use it so that a monarch, when meeting a monarch. Witnesses say the president picked up the coattails of his jacket, placed one foot behind him, bent at the knees, and bowed toward the queen. He remained bent in that position for a moment and then brought himself up to a standing position.
So he, instead of, women will pick up their dress, won't they?
That is correct.
So he picked up his jacket.
Put one foot behind him, about 18 inches. Apparently he'd been briefed on how to curtsy. And Craig Nobles, the head of White House protocol, then approached the president, whispered something in his ear. The queen looked a little bit bewildered, and there was an awkward moment. Now, we don't know what Craig said to the president, but witnesses then state the president appeared to know that he'd made an error by curtsying, and he was heard to remark, and I'm quoting now, Phil, and I don't know if the stations want to carry this or not.
All right, well, go ahead. If you're quoting the president, it's news.
He then said, well, don't I feel like the asshole?
Oh, man.
Yeah, he pretty much dropped the ball on the whole introduction. And
well, what, doesn't he have people briefing him on what to do?
I would imagine a Craig Noble and the heads of protocol.
I mean, the guy walks in and curtsies?
Well, that's what they're sifting through now. We knew that the president didn't need to curtsy, and what they did know and why, of course, wasn't relayed to the president's team on the ground.
And I understand the police were called.
Well, the police were called because the president had uttered the word asshole in the presence of the queen, and that can be, and let me underline, can be considered a form of assault.
Well, I see two mistakes here, Bob.
Right, go ahead.
One by the protocol team that didn't tell the president that all he had to do was shake her hand and not curtsy.
I understand that, Phil.
And the other one, the president made himself when he said the phrase, don't I feel like the asshole?
Well, I spoke with Mick Glynn at the Weekly Standard here in London. And he said the press is probably going to pass that one off as sort of a Texas thing. He's a new president. He's a little green.
I mean, how bad is this going to hurt us over there in the press?
I think the press realizes he's a new president. He's a little green, wanting to please. They'll keep the alcohol thing. They won't play that.
Well, the president wasn't drinking, was he?
No, he was not. But that will be the lead angle in the morning papers as to why he did it. I'm sure a lot of people will suspect the president had a couple of pops at lunch and came in and was trying to be funny.
And curtsies to the queen.
That's all I can recommend. In fact, Phil, I have one of the evening dailies in my hand.
Can you read? Do they have any reporting on it?
Oh, absolutely. This one's a little rough, but they tell me the reaction won't be so harsh. This is about as tough. This is about as tough as it's going to be.
And what does it say? Is this the headline?
Yeah, this is the headline from the Daily Sun. It says, the most powerful man in the world curtsies like a bitch.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that stings. But, again, that is probably the worst that we have to expect.
That's in the Daily Sun.
Daily Sun says the most powerful man in the world curtsies like a bitch. Queen bewildered is the subheading. So that's all we know. And when we get it, you'll get it. If I don't get it, then you won't get it. But if I do get it, then you'll get it. I'm Bob Bakian reporting from over London, where the President of the United States George Bush.
And he hadn't been drinking.
As far as we know. But when I get it, you'll get it. If I don't...
If you don't get it, I won't get it. I got it.
Okay, did you get that?
I got that.
All right, this is Bob Bacon, a part celebrity show. When I get it...
I'll get it.
No, you'll get it, but...
You just get out of here.
I'm getting out.
All right, so that's the word we got. President Bush apparently had been briefed by his people on the ground in London that you curtsy in front of a queen. Women curtsy, men don't. And the president walks into the reception hall, apparently extended the edges of his jacket outward, holding them between his thumb and forefinger, put his right leg behind him 18 inches, and then bowed. Now, that is something only women are supposed to do. If you ever meet a monarch, and I don't know whether or not you... Even if they still do that sort of thing, but the president was briefed wrong, he curtsied, and you heard the headline in the Daily Sun, the most powerful man in the world curtsies like a bitch. That sounds to me like they've got an axe to grind with Bush, and they're probably a left-leaning paper, so I would assume they'd say something like that. As you heard Bob say, when I get it, he'll get it, or what, something, I don't know.
Well, I went out with your sister once, and when I got it...
Yeah, I got it, that's right. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What if the report went something like President Bush then approached Queen Elizabeth, pulled a pistol from his jacket, and fired three times running from Buckingham Palace? That's all we know. Back to you, Phil. Or what would be even more interesting is President Bush approached Queen Elizabeth. She pulled from under her garment a Walther PPKS 9mm, pumped three shots into him, and then fled. So you don't have a lot of... heads of state shooting each other. I was asking Mike, how bizarre would that be if Bush assassinated Queen Elizabeth? And he says, it's been unprecedented. I said, are you sure? He said, he's looking at me like I'm stupid. I said, what about that family in Nepal? He said, well, that's the royal family. Some kid went nuts and aced his whole family. That naturally, it happens all the time. It's happening now in Nepal for the first time, but in America, it's one of our national pastimes. But I tell you, that's a record breaker if a head of state... If a head of a government, or both, just walked up to another one and blew his brains out. It must have happened at one time. It must have happened in some time in the history of the country. Not the country, the history of the world. Back in medieval times, some kind of a feud of some sort, some guy pulled out a dagger from a sheath and just, oh, you called me what? Well, here. And sticks it below the guy's septum. So that was the news that we had, and the other news we have, Planet of the Apes has been delayed 3 or 4 days. I know many of you, like myself, have been waiting in anticipation. I think this is the movie of the summer. See, I don't know what it is. I seem to have a sixth sense for what the real big movies of the summer are going to be. I picked Blair Witch Project 2 summers ago. Remember when Mike turned us on to that movie? And you tried to keep the joke going, Mike, about Blair Witch Project. You said, hey, have you seen this tape? I said, no, what is it, Mike? He said, oh, it's some group of guys. They went into the woods. And it's like, by the time I got it, I knew it was bullcrap. But I still watched it. I thought it was pretty good. The one that you got me. But then it hit the theaters, made $160 million. And I said, this is the movie. And that was the summer that, guess what came out that summer? Wasn't it Star Wars that came out that summer? Or was it 98? I don't know which. But there was a movie that was supposedly the big one. I said, this is going to be the one, this Blair Witch Project. Now, even though the movie now, if you look at it, it's pretty bad. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that the film just had a certain life. Now, this summer, Pearl Harbor, all these other things, I'm telling you, Planet of the Apes is going to be, for one reason and one reason only, Tim Burton's directing it. And then they got this Mark Wahlberg. This guy's always good, even when he's doing crap. In fact, even when he's doing a movie that I don't want to go see, which I don't see, I'm sure it's great because he's in it. I've only seen him in one movie, but everything he's done, and this is, I'm serious, when the first Planet of the Apes came out, the pre-publicity on it was enormous, because it was state-of-the-art makeup at that time. Now, it's no big thing, it's just rubber, all they did was glue rubber lips onto the actors, but now it looks like it's, doesn't it look cool? And it's been delayed for 3 or 4 days, and of course, I'm trying to get the kids interested in it, and they, you know, to them, If it's some old guy movie, you saw that? I said, yeah, you thought I was scared? Yeah. I was telling about Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I said one of the coolest movies ever made. And yes, they have a color version. They won't see Night of the Living Dead because it was in black and white. So I finally dug up Night of the Living Dead in color. At Hollywood Video, thank you very much. Not Blockbuster. Yeah! See, I gotta go to Blockbuster because it's a family place. But I can't go there and find anything that an adult would want to watch. And it's like when Marie and I rented, I don't know what movie it was, a few weeks ago, and the things on the screen, content edited. I said, I don't know, am I stupid? Or maybe I'm late to the game on this. How does a film studio allow Blockbuster to do that? Or does it doesn't make any difference to them? If it's going to rent the movie, it's going to rent the movie. Okay. I guess it's the same way they release it to a TV network. They're going to edit it. So, but Hollywood Video had it, and I got the color version of that. I got the color version of Body Snatchers. You know, I'm slowly but surely warping, slowly but surely scaring the stuff out of these kids. Phil Henry Show here, and big, big thank you to the great people of My Friend's Place. $500,000 that we've raised over the course of the time we've spent raising money for My Friend's Place. This year, close to $150,000. Number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD. It's available at 877-616-7445. We had dinner with these guys, the wonderful people at My Friend's Place last weekend. And I'm talking about Steve, and I'm talking about Joe and his wife, and just Rob and everybody. And that's where we had that flavored sake and where I almost got into a duke out with, I think it was either Lenny Kravitz, David Arquette, or my limo driver. I can't remember which one. They all were similar. And no, I'm just kidding. I didn't get any fist fight. Not any that actually happened in my mind. That was the place, though, at that sushi bar. But they great people, and they've got a wonderful resource center at the end of Hollywood Boulevard. So if you get a chance, why don't you make yourself homeless and check in there? Or just go in and say hello. Just go in and say, Phil said to say hello. Do you listen to him? Yeah, but I don't like homeless people. Well, you can leave now. All right. Kind of smells in here, doesn't it? I took Marie and the kids over to their home. Homeless kids. Who likes them? Nobody. Homeless teenagers, even worse. Because, like I've often said, there is nothing more odious, there is nothing more repulsive, there is nothing that people are reject more than a homeless, grubby teenager, because they're no longer cuddly little kids. It's kind of like today I was on a website for the FBI, and it showed missing people because I was getting into the Chandra Levy case. And you can just tell who the missing people are and who the guys are that are wanted for, like, arson murder. And there's, like, this one guy, okay, he was black, and he had dreadlocks, and he's staring at me. I said, how long has he been missing? Yeah, that's funny. These guys are looking at you like from the post office, missing since December of 87. So the same thing with these kids, and they're grubby, and they're gruesome, and nobody loves them, and that's why we give our money to them. But I took the kids over there, I took them over there hoping they'd be impressed, hoping that they would see this is the way you could wind up if you didn't have very loving mother, father, and stepmother, and step-grandparents, and grandparents, and step-uncles, and step-brothers, and cousins, and everything. You got them stepped, you got them non-stepped, you got them all. I said, see, this is how it can be.
That's really good. Is there a place to get Haagen-Dazs?
And I said, okay. So look at this. You got to be living here. And they had all these poor kids there, and they can't call home. And it's just a bad thing. And I thought, well, it's a terrible thing with those kids, but maybe I'll make one of our kids homeless like that. Just one of them gets kicked out, you can't call home. Anyway, it was nice to be a part of the raising of that money. And if you guys would like to log on to their website, it's homelessyouth.org. I'm not going to hit it over the head too heavy. I ain't doing the big, I'm not doing the big charity pitch. I'm just asking you, maybe, if you have a moment, send them a check. In fact, you don't even have to order our stinking CD. Just send them some money. I'm sure they'd be very, very happy to see that dough. All right, it's time now to tell you what we use in our household. It's our monthly review of the Fendry Handley. Of the Henry family larder and our pantry and all the other places where we hide crap. Yes, this is the stuff that we use in our house. Live and direct here from the Phil Henry Show, in case you're making notes, in case you're on your way to the store or something, you want to go shopping. Let's say you want to get something for the kids. We use Bisquick pancake mix. And not only do we use Bisquick pancake mix for pancakes, we use it for biscuits. I think we use it for a facial. This thing's just, it's all purpose. You can do anything with it. You can caulk bathroom tile. You can make yourself some biscuits. You can do all kinds of stupid stuff. We've switched toothpastes at our home. Oh, is that right, Craig? Craig tells me Bisquick's good for an enema.
Hey.
We've switched toothpaste in our home. We don't use Crest anymore because I'm no longer blown away by that whole little thing that says, recommended by the American Dental, a bull crap. Because I looked at Aquafresh, it's got the same thing. It has the exact same wording. Aquafresh has been proven to be an effective dentifrice against decay if used in conjunction with a dental hygiene, blah, blah, blah. Same thing that's on Crest. Only Crest has got the American Dental Association symbol, which they... anybody could photocopy that. And we also like to buy those frozen taquitos and the frozen lime chicken from Costco. If you want to... I don't know if you guys don't have Costco in your neighborhood. We got it here in Southern California. But those frozen taquitos, the frozen lime chicken, all those big bags of frozen crap, frozen tacos, everything. It's fantastic. And a lot of times, Marie will say, well, there's really nothing made for dinner. Why don't you just go in there and eat some fat? And I said, okay, I got that. We also get the chocolate marshmallow cookies, the chocolate graham crackers, and the Breyers chocolate cookie dough ice cream, which is the only ice cream allowed in the house, and I hate it. Maria won some paper towels from Vons the other day. She put her Vons Club card into the thing, and the guy said, oh, you've won some paper towels, Miss Sanchez. Oh, really? Great. So she came home with those, just clicking her heels, excited as hell. She got a box of fruit rolls for the kids, Go-Gurt, Altadena Dairy non-fat milk, and only non-fat milk. The kids won't drink, like, regular milk. They want the real thinned-out non-fat milk. Why? We only drink Sprite, Diet... decaffeinated Coca-Cola, Diet Barks Root Beer, Diet Dr. Brown's Cream Soda, and Ocean Spray Cranberry Juice. We also like Smart Balance Breakfast Spread. Now, you notice I say breakfast spread because that's not margarine, that's not butter. It's some simulated breakfast byproduct spread butter product. We also get the Vons cheese. When it comes to cheese and stuff, we go generic. We get the Vons cheese, big, thick bricks of cheddar, which I'm back to eating, by the way. But since I'm working out with weights now, as well as on the exercise cycle, I can eat fat. There's no problem with that. I'm burning it off, sort of. We also get the Kraft American slices for the sandwiches. Our reading material is eclectic. We have subscriptions to Mad Magazine, which is my subscription, by the way, and the kids are stealing it, and I, like, almost went into a temper tantrum when I couldn't find this month's Mad Magazine. It was in one of the kids' bedrooms. Where he goes, where do you think it's going to be? Well, that's mine. It's mine. Don't you think a kid's going to read that? So, Nicholas, if you're listening, man, I want my Mad back in my room. Not in your room. My room. That's my Mad Magazine. Don't be ripping off the cover, man. And you guys, don't do that fold-in at the back until I do it first. Guys are always doing the fold-in at the back before I get to do it. And they're always coming out and going, hey, you see this month's fold-in in Mad? No, I didn't. Well, it has a horse's ass. We have a subscription to Nickelodeon Magazine, People, Time Magazine, which I don't read. I gave up on Time. I tried to stay awake reading that thing. Viz Magazine, which is a British humor magazine. Terrific. We have Sports Illustrated for the kids. That's another one I can't read, Sports Illustrated. And I use Men and Roll-On deodorant, and the soap we have at our house is generally Coast. We also have, Maria just bought like 10 cans of Chicken of the Sea tuna, Best Foods mayonnaise. We have the Engelhofer mustard, which is fantastic. I recommend you get Engelhofer mustard. We get the deli style and the horseradish style. Engelhofer, new from Engelhofer Hot. We also have Roman meal bread, and we get the Oro-Wheat light bread. I eat the Oro-Wheat light bread because it's got fewer points, but we also have the Roman meal bread because somebody somewhere told me that it was healthy, even though it puts the fat on you just as much as any other bread. And we use Bounce dryer sheets and Downy fabric softener, and oh yeah, that big box of Tide. That's what we use at our house. Go out and buy all that crap. That's the stuff we buy. You buy it today, too. Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, so we got a limited edition of You May Not Talk to Phil today. So get your phone calls in right now. I know you're just dying to. 1-800-449-8686. You may not talk to Phil, which is a portion of our program. We talk about things that have been on the program or things that we've discussed, things that we have attitudes, positions, opinions that we've taken that perhaps you agree, disagree with, or things you've heard, things you hear in the night, stuff that you hear that doesn't have anything to do with me, the radio, or anything having to do with the normal world. 1-800-449-8686. You may not talk to Phil. And again, we're only going to do a 30-minute version of this today. And everybody's talking about the stem cell research and what it can do for Alzheimer's. Do you know what this is, stem cell research? It's basically, I don't know what it is. They're taking what? The neurons from the spinal cord from an embryo, and then they're treating people with Alzheimer's? See, my old man had Alzheimer's. I know all about it. I know all about it. He had Alzheimer's. He had strokes. This guy was... he was pushing up daisies 6 months before he was actually pushing up daisies. I mean, he was gone. And I remember at the time the doctor saying to me, well, you know, Mr. Henry, there's some experimental drug. I said, whatever you got, let's go for it, babe. Now, I'm all in favor of whatever's going to help the living, okay? The stem cell research thing, somebody's saying it's abortion or it's got something to do with abortion because it's an embryo, so they're taking it, which I don't know anything about that. But what I am hearing are these guys that used to be anti-abortion now saying, well, they're cool with the stem cell research because it means that their Aunt Clara is going to get her brains back if they can get the stem cell research going. Then maybe, well, you know, I was against abortion, but if it's going to help my great-granddad, I was against abortion, but if it helps me walk again. Now all of a sudden they're on a bandwagon. Good for you. Good for you. That's fine. That's great. I'm going to tell you, though, if you ever had a parent that had, I had an old man who had Alzheimer's, strokes, every kind of problem this guy had. And I don't think you can bring those guys back once they got it. I mean, my father was, what was the trip? I can't even begin to tell you, man. He was saying goofy stuff. He said to me one time, this is when Frank Gifford was on Monday Night Football. And my dad, right after he got Alzheimer's, says to me, so do you think Frank Gifford could come back and play ball? I said, Dad, Frank Gifford is like 56. Yeah, well, I think he could still do it, don't you? Yeah, Dad. I think the Giants will sign. That's when I knew. I thought maybe he was going to be okay. But there was no way they could give him a drug. You're going to bring anybody back from that because their brain's already gone. See what I'm saying? Maybe you can make it so that no one gets it. But you're going to make it so some guy is going to come back from it. His brain's all dried up. Guy goes from saying, hey, Dad, you remember 6 months ago before we had the Alzheimer's cure? What happened? You thought Frank Gifford could play football. I don't think so. Okay, Tazewell.
Hey.
How are you?
Phil Henry, man, I'm doing awesome. I couldn't believe I got through. This is just unbelievable.
Well, you can always get through on this show because nobody calls it.
Right.
Unless I'm doing some character shtick where everybody wants to call in and talk to some asshole that I'm creating.
Well, no, you've done this a couple times where you say, you know, it's time to talk to Phil. And, you know, I'm like, how do these people get in?
But, they call. They pick up a phone and they call. So anyway, on to your comment.
Yeah. I want to know why, you know, a lot of radio stations have these internet cameras where you can see inside the studio.
What do you think of those?
I had the fortunate pleasure of seeing you do your thing live when you were in Miami.
Uh-huh.
And you kept hitting your throat
when
you were doing Margaret.
Oh, wow.
And I want to know, are we ever going to get to see you do your shit?
See me hit my throat?
Or whatever other things you do.
Well, you already saw it, so what do you think of those studio cams?
Well, if I was on the air, I would hate them, you know, total invasion of privacy. But if you're a performer and...
okay, well, thanks for your call, all right? Bug off. You already saw the show. James, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got to tell you a story.
Are you ever going to get a studio cam, man, so we can see you do your show? Have you already seen the show? Yeah, and you were hitting your throat, so you want to see me hit my throat again. Go ahead, James, sorry.
All right.
I was having some thoughts while you were collecting yours.
She's like,
yes.
Hey, were you listening to Call My Intent, which is your affiliate here in Salt Lake City? And I was like, no. She's like, there was some lady from a homeowners association that was all, you know, been out of shape about people who didn't have DirecTV.
Yeah.
And I was like, was her name Bobby Dooley?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, it was. Western States Homeowners Association? Yeah, how did you know? You weren't listening. I'm like, I'm all your fool. That's the host doing the voice. She's like,
well,
no
way.
You
shouldn't have told her. You should have just let her go on in her ignorance because she's never going to listen to the show. She's a woman. Well, good,
in fact,
man.
She tried to call in.
Oh, your wife did?
Yeah, she said that she tried to call in. She was going to give the lady a piece of her mind.
But she couldn't get through.
Frank, right.
We could have used your wife's call, but instead I get that Tazewell call and he gets right through. How about that? Okay, James. Well, good. I'm glad you're having a good time. You having a good summer there?
Oh, yeah.
Is it beautiful, man?
Yeah, it's
pretty
hot.
Is it Rocky Mountain High over there?
Yeah.
Sweet. Thanks for calling, brother.
Yeah, take it easy.
Tell your wife that we're very happy that she's whatever she's doing. Who does she listen to? Forget it. I don't want to know. Thanks, man.
Keep doing what you're doing.
All right, brother, thanks. That's a very unusual thing. That's a young couple, and she was what's the word I'm looking for? She was scanning, I guess, the AM dial. AM radio, it's a rough one. And we have, God bless every single solitary one of the AM stations that carries our show. God bless every, and of course, our mothership, the granddaddy of them all, my home, KFI. Because AM radio, you got a listener that young scanning the dial. I'm not talking about where they know the show is there, they're going to go to it, but it's just, I'd go to the AM dial and see what there is. Boy, I sure am bored with this. I don't want to hear this alternative anymore, man. Limp Bizkit's new album sucks. Let me go to the AM dial and see if they've got something really fresh over there. That's wishful thinking. That's praying. So anyway, yeah, that was my old man. And I don't want to say anything bad, okay? But this is the life that you live. You got a father with Alzheimer's. Everything. They don't know how to. They're putting their pants. My old man put on two pairs of pants one day. I walked in. I said, "How you doing, Dad?" "I'm doing fine." "You're wearing two pairs of pants." "That's right. That's exactly correct." "Okay. Why do you have two pairs of pants on?" "Because these nurses are always giving me a hard time. But I got them fooled. I'll just do everything they want me to do, and then they won't bug me." "Well, why do you, what, if they want you to put on?" "See, they don't know whether they want me to put on the white pants or the brown pants, so I put on both, see?" "Oh, yes, yeah, see what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, you were always a slow kid, but I knew you could get that." Oh, boy. It's my father, two pairs of pants. And he had total logic as to what was going on with it, man. 1-800-449-8686. You may now talk to Phil. The lines are open. We're getting plenty of calls, but Mike is bugged. He says there ain't a decent call coming in other than the one from Miami and Salt Lake City. He says everybody's a jive ass today. All right, well, should we take a break and give you a chance to catch your breath? All right. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry here, and you may now talk to Phil in session for another few minutes. Only a half hour this week. 1-800-449-8686. Jeanette, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
How you doing, Jeanette?
I just need to tell you that I am honored to be actually talking to you.
Wow, thank you.
I listen to you on WELI, a local AM station.
New Haven?
In Connecticut.
Yeah, I know it. New Haven, yeah.
Yeah, and I actually do their voiceover work.
Do you?
And mm-hmm,
are you the board op there right now?
Pardon me?
Are you the board op right now? There? You're not the board op, are you?
No.
Okay,
no,
thank God. Because a lot of times we'll get scared. Hi, Phil. I'm the board op at your station in Tecumseh, Washington. And, well, thank you. But, well, there's no one else listening, just me. Well, so great. So you do voiceover work.
I do. I do their voiceover work, their tags and stuff. But I listened to your demo tape. The program director gave me your demo tape.
Right.
And I just, you know, you did, like, the different characters. And first of all, I just think you're the god of comedy. Your show is hysterical.
You know who said that I was the god of comedy? Matt Groening of The Simpsons. So you said it, Jeanette. That makes the two of you, I gotta be.
Wow.
Well, why, come on. I mean, well, you know, you and Matt Groening, what else you need?
That's it. Your life is set.
Yeah, my life is set.
You
my pocketbook is something. Yeah, my future finances aren't, but my life is. Well, that's a very nice thing.
I would pay you to entertain me. If this wasn't a free show, I would pay to listen to you.
Well, guess what? When we get our website going, we're probably going to have our live streaming by subscription only, so a lot of people will have to pay to listen. But you are listening to us on ELI, so that's great.
Yeah.
So you're doing all of the tag and the voiceover stuff. Do you have an air shift there?
No, it's all pre-programmed.
Cool.
You know, do all the holiday greetings and all their contests. And if you're listening to the morning show, I'm plugging the Phil Henry Show with lots of character.
Oh, really?
Or should I say characters?
So, Okay. Well, that's great.
But you're on from 7 to 10 now, which is great. You used to be on very late, and I used to have to stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning to listen to
it's
you.
It's nice that you called, and it breaks me from the habit of talking about my old man's Alzheimer's disease. Jeanette, thank you very much.
The show before, the 4th of July show, I have to tell you, I was here by myself, and you had me hysterical. It was the funniest. It was a show with the guy who washed his car and dried his car with the American flag.
Oh, yeah, that was Raj.
And then his wife dried the dog with the American flag.
Raj Fanin, he says, he says something about, you're telling me that I can't do it? Bullcrap!
He was selling hot dogs in front of the L.A. Courthouse.
Yes.
And he was so mad because he even bought Hebrew National for the Jewish lawyers.
For all the Jewish lawyers, they wouldn't eat the
bastards.
Hebrew National. Those bastards. Yeah. All right, Jeanette, thank you very much for your call and for your kind consideration. Appreciate it.
Can I ask you something? How do you keep it straight?
We should start with the question, and then we can have all this nice banter at the end. How do I keep what? What's that?
How do you keep the character straight? The caller and your, you know, you as the MC.
It's just a instinct that I have for the way people speak, and I can go in and out of character. And plus, some of the people that I liked watching in comedy were able to do that on stage. And you develop an ability to hear conversation, hear dialogue, make it real, and then sort of create the little play or the little bit of theater in your own mind. So having constructed that, then you present it to the world. Jeanette, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Bill, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Greetings from Atlanta.
Hi.
There's
another guy that works at the radio station that we're on. Huh?
There's a magazine you read called Viz?
V-I-Z, yeah.
How does one subscribe or find?
How do one get it?
Yeah.
How do it
know?
Well, you go to their website, viz.uk, I think.
V-I-Z?
.uk, yeah. And Viz is the funniest single magazine in the world today.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Do you get Funny Times?
No. What's that?
It's out of New York. You might want to try it. It's a newspaper format. It's got some of your type of humor in it.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Here is Zane on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Zane.
Hey, how are you, Phil?
Good, man.
My question to you, I guess, I'll do unlike the other lady. I'll start with my question and then...
Thank you.
Do you ever get uncomfortable with some of the topics or pushing the envelope as far as you do?
No, unless, of course, we've had a reaction that... There's only been maybe two or three times where I thought I did something that I shouldn't have done on the air in terms of material. But other than that, no. I get uncomfortable if it isn't funny. And that's when I get uncomfortable. If I don't think the bit's going the way it ought to go, if I don't think it's a funny bit, that's when I get uncomfortable. But if it's funny, then I feel that it's appropriate.
I can give you a specific example of something that just I couldn't quit listening, but it just totally made me uncomfortable. Was the Oklahoma bombing. When the lady from California said, I don't understand why all these people from Oklahoma just can't get over it.
Oh, Oklahoma City Boomtown. Yeah, that was the name of that episode. Incident at Boomtown Creek. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. But thanks for your call, Zane. Anybody named Zane after the great writer Zane, and I say great writer having never read anything of his, can't be all that bad. Was he a writer, or was it just some kind of a paint brand? That was Zane Grey. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Oh, Phil, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, great. Listen, my all-time favorite, and I love, you know, your guests, whatever. I like Bobby Dooley with her parrot Steve, you know, in the background.
Yeah, with her husband, yeah.
Yeah, but my favorite all-time is Chris Norton. Let me tell you, when I think of Chris Norton, I think of a guy, okay, who's any guy in Key West, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Who absolutely has a sporting a major mullet, okay? The guy has a hairy chest.
Yeah.
He has boat shoes with absolutely no socks.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, it's like the guy doesn't want to lift the guy doesn't even want to lift a finger to do any work.
There's some gold.
I'm going to get by with my looks.
Like a gold chain going on there somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he goes to all places in the world to meet women at the Rusty Pelican.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like every time when he's on, I have to stop everything I'm doing to find
that guy,
out what it is that he's talking about.
That guy's really specific because he is based on sort of a real guy. And you know what's funny? He's really based upon some of the guys that I used to know when I lived in and worked in Orlando. These cats that had this sort of quasi-morality, you know, let's go drink rum and screw our best friends' wives. Just very borderline people.
Well, you know, the thing is that these kind of guys don't even go after quality women. They go after women you figure are just sort of easy because they're missing a couple of teeth.
Either missing
you know,
a couple
of teeth. You know,
yeah.
I scored with 300 chicks.
Right, or they've got like 16 pounds of lacquer and makeup on, and then when the next morning rolls around and the light of the day floods in, much like Dracula to his coffin, they flee before the weave gets out of place, and you know, you're running your fingers through their hair, and there's kind of a netting underneath, and.
Let me ask you, Phil. I visited your home page, and I know you have guys like Rudy Canoes and R.C. Collins.
Yeah, Chris isn't on there?
No, Chris is not on there.
We're gonna plug him on there. We are reworking our web page. It's going to be completely awesome when we finally get it up and running, so please stay tuned for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be totally cool.
That way I can turn my friends on to more of that stuff. Oh, listen, one last thing. You know, I think like one of my favorites also, besides the guests also, we probably do even better are the announcers. You know, like the guys like, you know, like the
yeah,
guys
those
in
cats,
the background,
yeah,
and the guys that do the Dodger games.
Yeah, Ross
and
Porter and Rick Mundy.
Joe Dickhead. Are you going to have any more Dodger games on?
Yeah, we're going to have some Dodger games on, and when football season starts, we will have our NFL picks with Joe Dickhead and the professor.
Great.
So
That'll be awesome.
That's all coming up. Thank you very much, John, for your call. Here is Scott on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Hi, Scott.
Hey, it's a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Thanks.
Hey, I just was curious, how do you come up with your guests? Like Steve Bozell was the one I was curious about, and also Brass. Are they from people that people you might have met or,
Yeah, Brass sort of was born out of a gang incident that was going on in Los Angeles. They were like, there were slingshots they were using rocks to bust the windshields out of cars. And so he sort of started out as a gangbanger, but I thought I needed to evolve him. And so he became an activist, a militant activist wannabe. And I thought that was a very funny place for him because there are those people who talk continuously and ad nauseum about their culture, and they know nothing of it, you know, and they want to be a leader in their community, and they know absolutely nothing of being a leader in the community. And then Steve Bozell was a character born of this interesting mixture of emotion between fear and anger. I really like that. And anybody who's both angry and fearful at the same time, they're hysterically funny to me. So Steve is that guy, and plus he sues, and he's just a pussy, and somebody's got to say something about these people in a creative way, other than to just say there's too many pussies out there suing. We need to be able to illustrate that, you know, other than you say, well, there's too many lawsuits, there's an abuse of the legal system. Well, what do you mean when you say that? Well, here's Steve Bozell. Okay, Jeff, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi, yeah, I'm a new convert to the show, but I actually was a wondering, I've been trying to tell my friends about the show and get them into it, but every time I tell them, I'm not sure if I should tell them that you're the host.
Every time
host
you
of the
tell
character.
Them, then they turn it on and they say, yeah, what's
and then,
so
and
great
they,
about
then
the show?
They hate it.
It sucks, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I would say to you then is to just keep listening to it by yourself and make some friends that will enjoy it with you, and the other people can, I don't know what to tell you.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, and thanks for the archives on the website.
You got it, brother.
That's great. Thanks.
Okay, bye. No, tell them that it's me doing the voice. If they don't get it, they don't get it. They're going to dig it, you know. There's some people that are just not going to want to hear the show. But we do appreciate people doing their word of mouth on it. 1-800-449-8686. This has been our semi-regular edition of You May Not Talk to Phil. Of course, we had a truncated version today. That means a shortened version. But we'll be back at it again very soon. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show will be back, I think,